You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
So, the title of today's message is Comebacks. So, you say, well, wow, what is a comeback? And we'll talk about this a little at the end. A comeback, you have to have been somewhere to come back to somewhere. Okay? So, a comeback implies you were there to come back to. And when you see somebody who was at a high level or any place, and then they fall away, and then they make it back, even to where they were beyond, clearly a comeback. In Scripture, and I'm not going to read this whole passage, but if you take notes, Judges 13 to 16, if you know the story of Samson, long-haired Samson, born, God in his life, made a few stubborn decisions. You know the name Delilah. He's got women everywhere, basically, but in his life. But he's used of God, and she tricks him into revealing the secret of his strength, this supernatural strength. It's in his hair. They cut his hair and basically poke his eyes out, and he's just a circus act. But they make a terrible mistake. And at the end of his life, when his life ended, he was brought in to do some feats of strength, chained to two pillars where there were thousands of people. And he prays, you know, one more time, Lord, give me strength, and pulls the pillars down. And this whole temple, this whole building collapses and kills a few thousand people. And he ends up killing more people in his death than he did in his life, taking out the enemy. So pretty huge comeback. I'm actually going to read you a little bit out of Luke 15, so if you'll turn to that, one of my favorite comeback chapters, favorite comeback stories. Sometimes the people who hear this may be listening somewhere out there, but they don't know how to make a comeback. They don't know if they've ever had a relationship with God. They got away, they figured out they were smarter, they had better plans, better answers, and they get out there and go, maybe not. So the prodigal son gets tired of his dad leaving, tired of waiting on his dad to die, says, look, just execute the will. In this situation, the older brother would get 2/3 of the inheritance, the younger brother 1/3, takes his money, splits, and says, all it says is he wasted his substance with riotous living. And then on a day, it says he came to himself and said, I'll arise and go to my father. Well, that's Luke 15. Let's read verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I will perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And then verse 20 is what is necessary. And he arose and came to his father. So don't let pride leave you in a place where you literally starve to death, spiritually, physically. You say, well, I've said too many things now. I've gone too far. I've ridiculed church, God, my family, my friends. You know, I'm right, they're wrong, I'm out. You know, God wins. It's just the way it works. And if he doesn't win, you lose. And so you can fight him. You could spend another 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years fighting him. You're not going to win. Your way, my way, is never going to work. You say, but I have money. What else you got? Do you have peace? Your money can't buy peace. Your money can't buy joy. Your money can't buy the things that you really need to be alive, to live the way he intended. And so you just wrestle. And he has a way of allowing your circumstances to get worse and worse and worse. You say, well, are bad things happening to me because God's trying to get me back? Absolutely. You say, well, why would he do that? Well, blessing you with good stuff sometimes doesn't work. Sometimes that does work. His kindness, his gentleness leads us to repentance. But when that doesn't work, he says, okay, I got to turn the knob because you don't get it. And then finally, as I tell people, you get to the place where you have to say uncle so you can say father and get back to living the way he intended. So the prodigal son. Another one in John chapter 11. This is quite a comeback. And you don't see this every day. I don't think this is impossible anymore. But this is the story, and I'll read you pieces of it out of John chapter 11. down in verse 14, a friend of Jesus, actually. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they're brothers and sisters, and they send for Jesus. He's sick, and Jesus doesn't go. And Lazarus dies. So this is what's perplexing, and I got to tell you up front, I don't think I'll have these questions when I get to heaven, but I actually believe, right? So I've got faith. I believe God can do these things. But what I don't understand is when I ask him to show up, he didn't show up. Why do people die? Why do people get sick? And it takes a tremendous amount of faith to get to the end of yourself and say, you know what? I'm not going to flip God off. I'm not going to call him names. I'm not, you know, I may be upset, but that's not going to get me anywhere because I don't understand what he's up to. I asked for his will. I asked him to do something that I thought, if it's your will, do this, and he doesn't, then you got to be okay with it. You say, well, I don't like that. You got no options. You're either going to trust him and go with it and just wait until you get to heaven and understand, or you're going to be bitter and angry the rest of your life and never make a comeback. You'll die this way, and it'll just get worse. So Lazarus, in verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So you see, literally in this case, Jesus lets Lazarus die for a reason, because he's going to show them what is possible, give them a category for what's possible. Then verse 16, then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, well, let's also go that we may die with him. Now we're going pessimistic. Oh, there's a comeback. Oh, we're all going to die. Let's go with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Like, what are you doing? This is God himself in the flesh. You say, well, how could she speak to him that way? She knew him. She trusted him. She loved him. He loved them. You have the power. Why didn't you show up? So this is not a, oh, master, bow down, wash your feet, blah, blah, blah. This is, hey, where were you? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now that's faith. My brother's been dead in the grave for 4 days, but I know you got power. Now you say, well, what if I really believe that? And I said the same thing to Jesus, and my friend doesn't come back from the dead. My family member doesn't come back from the dead. This is going to sound a little nuts to you. I believe in asking. What you don't want to do is get to heaven and find out that there were so many categories of things you just didn't ask. You just didn't say it out loud. You just didn't whisper it to God and say, if it's possible, but not my will, your will be done. But if it's possible, let this happen. Happen or not happen. You say, well, what if he says no? What if you ask him and he says yes? You say, well, what does that apply to? Ask him what he wants you to ask him for and ask him. You're dealing with God, the God that created the whole universe, holds it together, can raise the dead. So keep reading here. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Oh, yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I know that. I ain't talking about that. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God that's come into the world, or just some prophet, just some teacher? So they go to where Lazarus is, verse 38, jump down here. Then Jesus, again groaning to himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Very interesting that it's a cave with a stone against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a, like, you may not want to be moving the stone. You know, dead people start stinking. 4 days, dude. The dude is added, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Let me tell you something. You don't have to scream at a dead person. They can't hear. You say, well, why is he with a loud voice? Well, it turns out Lazarus all wrapped up. Sometimes all that stuff around your ears, when you're coming back to life, you can't hear very well. Kind of muffled. Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Quite a comeback, literally from the dead. Luke chapter 24. So I'm not going to say what I'm about to say. I'm not putting anybody down, but just to encourage us. You think, well, sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I have questions. Sometimes I just don't get it. You're not the only one. In Luke chapter 24, so Jesus has been talking about this, going to Jerusalem, dying, buried, raised from the dead, dying, buried, raised from the dead. He always included raising from the dead. But there is nowhere in Scripture where anybody, at least in Scripture, believed for even a second that he was going to be raised from the dead. So Luke 24, he's been crucified, he's been buried, third day, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. They're not cooking lunch. They're taking spices to anoint his body and finish the job, because they had to get him in the ground on the Sabbath by Jewish tradition law. They had, you know, get him off the cross, get him in the tomb. And so they went back to continue to take care of his body. They went looking for a body. And by the way, it's the women. There's no men going out there to do this. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, this is the two angels speaking to these women, why do you seek the living among the dead? What are you doing here? You came looking for Jesus? Why'd you think he'd be here? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. The angels even know the gospel. They're quoting Jesus. That's what he told you. Now, let me tell you the tricky thing here. You say, well, great, the angels heard it and knew it. We have a disadvantage, but an advantage. Angels can't be saved. I can be saved. Angels see it all. I have to live by faith. Those angels had seen everything that had happened, knew what was coming, knew all about it. You go, yeah, easy if you can see everything, then I know what to do. But I can't see what's coming. I don't understand everything. But you can live one day at a time, every step by faith. You say, well, I get to a place I don't understand. You live by faith, not by sight. You say, this doesn't make sense. It's okay. In the same way that little kids ask questions, and there's certain things you can't tell little kids because they're not there yet, at a certain point, what you're saying to your children is, look, just trust me. This is not a good situation for you. I know you're upset. You want to go there, and I'm saying no, but please trust me. I know things you don't know. I see things you don't see. I'll explain it to you one day, but for now, trust me. And we either say, okay, I trust you, or we go, well, this isn't fair. This isn't right. You hate me. You say, well, that's how little kids talk. No, that's how we talk to our Father when we don't trust him. And then verse 8, and this is why it is so important to listen to Scripture and to read Scripture. And they remembered his words. The reason Scripture is so powerful is you get in a bad spot and the Holy Spirit says, remember this? And you go, yeah, I do remember that. It's hard to remember something you don't know, you haven't learned. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Scripture. They remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And look at verse 11, these brilliant men. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. You say, oh, that's terrible. Then don't be that person. Someone shows up in your life and says, I've been to the tomb. I know the story. He's alive. He's risen. He's not there. Even angels know this. He's alive. And they go, ah, whatever. That's just some idle tales. I don't believe you. So you make fun of them when we're the people that don't believe either. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed marveling to himself at what had happened. And they start to realize it's true. What he said is true. He did die, he was buried, and he's risen from the dead. Acts chapter 1. So Jesus makes a clear comeback, crucified, dead on a cross. Everybody knows it. All these witnesses. There's not just witnesses that he was raised from the dead. There's witnesses that he died. He was dead. And when Jesus ascends into heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse 11, who also said, "Men of Galilee," back to these angels, "why do you stand gazing up into heaven?" Well, what are you looking at? What are you looking for? "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." He's going to make another comeback. He made a comeback from the dead. He's coming back here. Now you say, well, how can he come back if he's never been here? He's been here, and he's coming back. So the excitement for me is not just that he was crucified, buried, raised from the dead, but I know at any point that he can come back. I can die or he can come back. What a crazy, exciting way to live. Now, not so good if you're living like hell. You say, well, what does that mean? Let's just say your wife goes on a trip or your husband goes on a trip with the guys or the girls for a weekend and you get in a bad place, you hook up with somebody and someone other than that person that left town is in the bed with you in your house, and your spouse comes back early and finds you in that bed. That's not a good situation. You say, wow, that's terrible. That would be horrific. So why do we put ourselves in these terrible situations when he could come back any second and surprise us? Why do you want to live, you know, oh, that'd be exciting. No, wouldn't it be embarrassing? It'd be shameful. You say, well, I'm still going to heaven. Why do you want to live like hell when you got heaven to look forward to and here in the life that he intended you could be living? You say, well, I'm way far away. I'm so far away I can't get back. You can always come back. And by the way, back to the prodigal son, he made a comeback because he left home in the first place, and he was a son when he left. He was in the family when he left. Some of you in this room, you know you're here today. Some people listen out there. You haven't been to church in a long time. You say, well, you can't really go to church. I agree with you. It's a place. It's not a place. It's a people. But who are you gathering with? I'll tell you how I know what's going on with you. I don't have to spend time with you. You just tell me the people you're spending time with, and I'll tell you what's going on with you. Whatever you put the meat in and marinate it in, that's what it's going to taste like. So if you're running around with a bunch of losers, a bunch of atheists, a bunch of crazy people, and then you wonder why you're a crazy person, this is not complicated. So if you claim that you're headed in a direction, then if you're doing it God's way, you're not headed in that direction alone. You got other people around you going the same place. Don't be shocked if you end up somewhere with the people that you picked to go there with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Very practical stuff. Paul writing to this church at Thessalonica, and people are dying. Verse 13, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." I know it's sad, but you don't have to just sorrow, grieve like people who don't have any hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep," or those who have died before us. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." He's coming back. We're out of here. And if I'm already dead, I'll be raised first. You guys will have to follow me out. And if I'm still here, my mom and dad, whoever else I know is dead already, they'll be raised first, and then I'll follow them out. But I'm out of here. I'm not going to be here forever. And thank God for that. For those of you that think a comeback is resurrection, is reincarnation, that is not the comeback we're talking about. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, after this the judgment. That's Hebrews chapter 9, 27, 28 in there. And then in 28, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." Go to Revelation 2. So I like this verse when I'm doing well. I'm not so crazy about it when things aren't going so well. And this is Revelation 2, verse 1. "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil." Sounds like so good so far. "And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and you have not become weary. These are extraordinary people. They're doing all the right things. It sounds great. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Some people misquote this, that they have lost their first love. Let me tell you about losing something. I lost a head cover on a putter the other day, and I don't know where it is because I lost it. I didn't left it somewhere. I lost it. So if you've left something somewhere and you know where you left it, you can go back and get it. Some of you need to make a comeback. Come back to that first love. There are couples in this room, married couples. They haven't held hands in who knows how long. Haven't kissed each other. May not even sleep in the same bed. No intimacy. You're just technically married. But if I sat you down and said, was there ever a time, was there ever a day when you couldn't get enough of each other? Sweet nothings. Just couldn't sleep thinking about each other. Where'd it go? You left it somewhere. You can make a comeback in a relationship with each other, but especially with him. You say, well, how do I make that comeback? You go back. You say, Lord, I'm wrong. You're right. And I know it's in here. I know you're in here. But I'm just frozen completely solid. It feels like and looks like I'm not even a Christian anymore. I know that's not true, because once you move in, you'll never leave me or forsake me. But I'd like to make a comeback with you and me. He didn't stop loving you. It's like the guy that, you know, his girlfriend used to get in his pickup and slide over next to him. And one day she says, well, you used to sit really close to me in the truck. She said, well, I didn't move. You know, so that's not what she was looking for. So you slide back over there. Say, Lord, I wanted to get back to where we left off, that first love. One more out of Revelation 22. And the Bible kind of ends with this same thing. Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha is what it's translated. Come, Lord Jesus. So I don't have a death wish. I have a life wish. I'm not trying to get out of here till my work is done. But come back, Lord. Come back. You have a setback. Someone gives you some feedback trying to help you get back. But you snap back with nothing but talk back. They try to push back and you tell them you'll holler back. You read a paperback and listen to some Nickelback, which is clearly throwback. You have a flashback, which causes you to think back about how you need to turn back instead of fight back. Judas couldn't take back what he had done for a kickback and couldn't walk back what was done. You look back, you realize you can step back and find a way back. There's no reason to hold back. There's no time to stand back or waste more time with playback. There's no way you can pay back. Let the Father take you out back. Deal with the blowback. It's time for you to make your comeback.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So here's the problem with comebacks. As I described, you have to be somewhere before you can come back to it. So how do you get to a place so that if you fall away, you can come back to it? You got to get there. And where is that place? At the foot of a cross, where a Savior bled and died to pay for your sin, suffered. He who knew no sin literally became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he dies in your place. They bury him, and then he's raised from the dead. Package deal. You get your sins forgiven if you're willing to confess that you're a sinner. You get offered eternal life as a free gift. You get offered your sins forgiven, free gift. Eternal life, abundant life. You get everything you could ever dream of. Yes, some suffering. Yes, some persecution maybe. But no more wasted time unless you choose to waste it. And all of a sudden, God moves inside your body, lives in you, where he can live through you and change not only you, but change the whole world around you. And always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you, because you have hope. And you have hope not just for yourself, but for other people who have no hope. And if that's you, you can change that today, right now.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.